Thanks for taking the time to download this BBC Radio 5 Live podcast. To search for other podcasts you might like, click bbc.co.uk/5live, where you'll also find our terms of use.
Hello, Outriders. 2012 has been dubbed Alan Turing Year, and all over the world people are celebrating Alan Turing's all-too-brief life in many different ways. I chatted with Barry Cooper, who's a mathematician in Leeds, and he works on computability and incomputability. I asked him what his connection is with Alan Turing.
Well, I guess it started off when I did a PhD on degrees of unsolvability was the title. It was fairly technical, but the whole thing depended on Turing's work and his idea of an Oracle Turing machine. And the idea of the Oracle Turing machine was to, in some way, to calculate from maybe objects that were not calculable. And it went on from there. So I guess I was in Manchester at that time, and the funny thing was that there was really no sense of being in a place where Turing had worked. And I think, you know, he went through this period after the war when he was not well known. He was a victim, I guess, of the secrecy that was associated with the decrypting during the war. And it wasn't until the 1970s, which was just about when I completed my PhD, that he started to become better known.
For Outriders regular listeners, they'll probably already know about this, but in case there's someone left who is not entirely sure, who is Alan Turing and why is he so important to us?
I guess in our field we always think Turing is fantastically famous. but then when you talk to, you know, quite well-informed people from outside of mathematics and science and so on, then he's not so well-known. But if you mention Bletchley Park, the decoding of Enigma during the war and the fantastic role that played, and I guess people say that the war was reduced in length by 2 years due to the work of people at Bletchley Park. Well, then people remember, they say, well, Turing was the person who played the leading role at Bletchley Park, and this is quite right. He brought computing machines to play, and there are all sorts of ingenious things that happened. So there are all sorts of academics and people from all sorts of different walks of life were brought to Bletchley Park. There was sometimes something like 10,000 people there at the height of the activity. There he was. He was known as the Prof, and he was instrumental in the winning of the war, I guess. But of course, the fantastic thing about Turing was that although he died at the age of 41, he packed a tremendous amount into his life, and so he's also known for the early days of the computer and the inventing even of the stored program computer that we use today. His mathematical paper in 1936 was was the theoretical anticipation of the computer that we use today. And then after the war, he was actually practically involved with designing and building computers and then programming them later on. And this was a period in which Britain was in the lead, I guess, as far as the early development of computers went. In Manchester, where Turing was at the end of his life, they built the first stored program computer, and this was a fantastic achievement. Involved not just theory, but practical discoveries, engineering, and so on.
And now, Alan Turing was obviously very influential within his lifetime, even with the Official Secrets Act. But he's still influential today, it seems, when it comes to mathematics, computing, and even human rights. Why is that?
Well, I guess that there are all sorts of reasons for this, and there are other things that he did in his short life that I haven't mentioned, like the mathematical analysis of how cows get their spots and tropical fish get their moving stripes and zebras get their stripes and so on. There's a mathematical theory there that's been very influential in biology. But it's not just that some of this work has had direct scientific influences. It's the fact that it leads on to quite mysterious things that we're still struggling to understand today. He actually discovered incomputability. So as well as playing a big role in inventing the computer and using it during the war and so on, he was very interested in artificial intelligence, which has been a tremendous challenge to the computer scientist. And his work in biology connects up with later work on emergence and chaos and the presence of incomputability in the real world. So there's all sorts of really exciting things going on in science nowadays that Turing anticipated in his work. And I guess apart from that, there was an approach that Turing had. He had this kind of way of engaging with the real world at the same time as bringing abstract structures and mathematics and so on to it. And this kind of approach is what seems to be necessary nowadays, you know, in physics and biology and computer science and so on. And this is why Turing is so much celebrated, I think, in 2012, because people look back and they say, what I'm doing now, Turing had thought of this before. He was anticipating what I'm doing now. And so people find Turing a very exciting personality. And I guess, 2012 is going to be a time to remember this.
Do you think that his way of thinking was also maybe a reflection of his personal struggles, because it was an unhappy ending to a life?
Yeah, I think this is another reason why people are so interested in Turing, is because, I mean, in a sense, he lived the science, and yet the science, in a sense, depended on how he was as a person. He had an interesting childhood where his parents were, a lot of their time they were in India, and he was farmed out to foster care and to public school later on. And so he had to do a lot for himself personally. He was kind of trying to make sense of the world and making it a place that he could live in. And this comes through in his science. Very, very constructive thinker in all sorts of ways. And in a sense, he was kind of trying to make order out of what's essentially, as we know, a very complicated world that we live in. And I guess the things eventually caught up with him at the end of his life. And this is what's so sad, that we lost him in this kind of rather ridiculous way, in which we think is a complete disgrace. And I guess a lot of people just identify with Turing, that they understand how disappointment and incomputability and disorder is part of the world we live in, and that they find him rather a heroic figure because of the way he dealt with it, and never really complained. The very touching postcards that he wrote to his student, Robin Gandhi, and you can sense the pain in his mind, but he was never a whinger. he did manage to keep his dignity right to the end. He's a very iconic figure for many people.
It must be hard not to speculate how far a mind like that would go if he wasn't born in a time when he would be persecuted for homosexuality.
I'm old enough to remember what the world was like back then. I think for younger people, it's very difficult. And I think the kind of the iron grip of the culture of that time is hard to remember or hard to imagine. It is very, very sad. And, of course, the fact is that the world has changed tremendously since those days, and Turing never got to see it. He would nowadays be free to be who he was. And of course, he always... He never hid who he was. He was always Alan Turing, and he was never ashamed of it. And nowadays, that would be completely accepted. It was, as I say, it's a different world now.
Well, it seems that the least that we can do is highlight the great works that he did do throughout 2012 as the centenary. So
yes.
What's happening, and is this on a global scale?
This is one of the kind of rather moving things, actually, that internationally that there are many people who are celebrating Turing's life and the centenary. There are literally dozens of countries across which there are now very interesting and exciting events happening. I mean, there are obvious places like America, which Turing had an association with, and European countries and so on. But there are places like China and Malaysia and Brazil and all sorts of places where they're doing great things, and it's going to be a very exciting time.
Do you think it's easier to do this because mathematics is such an international language?
That's true. I mean, a lot of academic work is tied to locale and that it's embedded in. But mathematics is a very international topic, really. And part of this is because it's so specialised. People think, you know, they have no kind of experience of the complexity of mathematics and the way even one mathematician meeting another mathematician can find they don't really understand exactly what each other are doing, but they can describe to each other, they can share structures and have some kind of discourse. And often this kind of contact is necessary, so people travel all around the world finding particular people that are useful to them in their research.
And so if people want to find out how they can get involved, or if they can look for events where they can also celebrate Alan Turing's life, what's a good way to find out online?
Well, Google. you can, if you Google for Alan Turing centenary, you'll find an amazing amount out there on the web. I have to say that the Turing Centenary Committee actually maintains a very good website. If you Google for Alan Turing year, you go straight to the website. And there, well, actually, I mean, you'll find information overload. There's just so much there that's happening. You should be able to find links to any kind of particular interest you have in Turing. And there are a number of different kind of aspects of Turing, of course, that people will be looking for. I mean, Turing had a lot of influence on the arts, for instance. There's operas and there's artistic creations and so on. You can find all that sort of thing on the website. I think there'll be a lot of information out there very soon.
And just finally, will you be marking this centenary in any particular way?
Well, I'll mainly be marking it by being very busy, I think, both organising and writing and speaking as well. But myself, I guess I'll be looking forward to my own interest in Turing and hopefully carrying forward some of the kind of strands of research that he never got to complete himself.
To carry on the work of Alan Turing, that sounds like a worthy cause indeed. Well, if you're celebrating the Turing centenary, helping people connect online, or working on something of your own, then as ever, we'd like to hear about it. Whatever your project, whether it's wired, wireless, electronic, or just plain geeky, let us know so we can talk about it and share. You can email me at outriders@bbc.co.uk, find us on Twitter, where we are bbc_outriders, or search for Outriders on Facebook, where you can see our updates in your feed. I'm looking forward to learning more about your lives online into the new year.
On digital and online.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
bbc.co.uk/5live.